Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For those of you who have one of these mugs, because you are a Fight Laugh Feast member, cheers. If you want to cheers along with us, go over to the Fight Laugh Feast Network, fightlaughfeast.com. Put in HTBT in a memo field, and when you subscribe to any of the tiers that they have, you get this mug for free, and you get to join us as we discuss business, entrepreneurship, investing, careers, and a bunch of other things that are going to help you be successful in life. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com, put in HTBT in the memo field, and you will get one of these mugs on top of a bunch of other great stuff. I just want to say that having kids is a blast. It's amazing. It's a blessing, just like the Bible says it is. But one of the things that is really great to have along with raising your kids is one of those apps that tells you when your kid is going through a developmental leap, they call it, where their brain starts learning and being able to comprehend new things. Like one of the leaps was having your child get to a point where they can understand that there's something that exists behind an object, even though you don't see it. And then that's where peekaboo becomes fun and exciting. It's just a really great supplemental thing to have along with raising your kids, because you start to understand more in a deeper way, in ways that our parents never got to, where your kids are and can help teach them, raise them, and have wisdom and insight and knowledge going into a situation for whatever is happening. Like right now, my son's going through one. He's crying and getting frustrated, and we were just like at our wits' end, but it turns out he's in another leap right now, and that is one of the characteristics of this leap, where he's getting frustrated and trying new things and realizing all the different things he can't do and trying to do them. It's just a fantastic help for us. Anyways, I wanted to share that. There's a bunch of different apps that do it. I would just Google it and just enjoy the ability to see what's going on around the different age developments of your child. The other thing I wanted to talk about before we get into the title of the show, or world, the title of the show is a little play on a Bible verse, but I want to talk about different ways to help you become a morning person, because it's important to not sleep in and to not oversleep, but to get the most out of your day. I want to talk about seven different, they call them hacks. I love that word. I feel like they don't use that word anymore. Like that kind of got burned out, like different hacks to eating better or hacks to cutting up watermelon. These are hacks to get up early in the morning. And I just think a lot of these are great things to do if you are having a problem with getting up, or if you're trying to get up earlier for whatever reason. There are some great tips in there. Before we do that though, I wanted to show you this video real quick. If you take a look at it. Now you're like, oh, so who cares? And you're like, whoa, that's zooming in. What kind of camera is that? And the answer is it's a new cell phone camera, which is absolutely amazing. And it's from a company, Huawei, who you may have heard of in the news, is not allowed to sell products here because the Chinese government uses those products to spy. It's actually a very fascinating case study, or something to study. I guess I don't know if it's a case study per se, but it's something interesting to think about. Before, all these different spies from different countries would have gadgets exclusively for their spies. What China has decided to do is to harness big data and to give spy equipment to everybody who will buy them, and just collect that big data and monitor everybody who has all the products. So instead of giving it to a select few people to go, I mean, they do that too, to go spy on things, now they have these technology, like this zoomed in camera. That is absolutely incredible that it can do that. I just love technology, and even though it could be used for, you know, things like spying, just imagine that's going to come out eventually for our products that we can buy in the United States, and it's just going to be absolutely amazing. Just like when you couple in 5G network coming out in the United States, these combinations of these kinds of technologies and the faster internet that we're going to have is just going to revolutionize different things. The typical tasks that we do throughout the day are just going to be incredibly different, and it's really exciting. I love it. I'm one of those people that look forward to it. I'm an early adopter, and that is why I love waking up in the morning. Now, moving right along to these seven hacks. Now, the first one is something that is kind of strange. It's put your alarm in a different room, and I'll share the article and the link so you can read them yourselves. This is their first hack, quote unquote, is to put your alarm in a different room. And I wanted to talk about that one because, one, that seems kind of silly to me. Like, what if you don't hear it? What if you're a hard sleeper? But two, there is a great kind of problem to work through here, or case to examine. And that is simply this, is why is it that you are snoozing your alarm? Well, because it's so easy to hit. And it's just a great problem to solve. Okay, so how do you make it harder to snooze? Now, in this case, they're telling us to put the alarm in the other room, but that creates a whole another set of problems of what if you don't hear it? And what if your battery dies, or you forget to set your alarm and you just fall asleep? And there's two things that I want to hit here. One, it helps us by recognizing this process to think in a process term and to identify pain points. And that is helpful when you are looking to start a business, when you're looking to figure out why a product that you maybe manage, or your product manager of something of a company, where it's something isn't working, is to think in a linear process mode. I'm going to set my alarm when I go to bed. I'm going to fall asleep, and the alarm is going to go off, and I'm going to wake up, or I'm going to hit snooze and sleep longer and put the covers back over my head. And thinking like that, and then identifying the behavior you want to change, and then thinking, okay, so I don't want to hit the snooze anymore. What are ways that I cannot hit the snooze anymore? Their recommendation, put it out of reach, go into another room with your alarm. Now, other entrepreneurs, more creative, have built apps where it's not putting in another room, but you have to get up with your phone and have to do an activity or something to that effect. And that was somebody thinking through the process, identifying a problem people have in that process, and breaking it down into an element of, okay, what little thing needs to change for this process to be improved? And the process improvement is being able to wake up without hitting your snooze. Now, that's just an example, a one piece of our lives. But start thinking through that and all the different processes you do throughout the day. Cooking, going to the bathroom, brushing your teeth. And start thinking in those step-by-step process ways. And think through, what is a pain point? What is something that you want to change in your behavior? And that can just be powerful for your own discipline, for your own way of training yourself to make changes and to break bad habits. It's thinking in a process set, and then finding ways to make it easier to break the habit or to change, and go from there. So even though I'm not a big fan of putting an alarm in a different room, for a bunch of reasons, that is a great point. And the second point I want us to consider is the second and third effects of doing something. And this is something that liberals and, well, I shouldn't just say liberals, a lot of people, but specifically when you have a policy in government to change a behavior, you don't think of the secondary, third, and fourth effects of that change. In this case with the alarm, it's you may not hear it. But before, that wasn't a problem. When it was right next to you, you could hear it, you just snoozed. And when you move it out of the room, you close the door on accident, you forgot your alarm's out there, your battery runs out of juice because it's not plugged in right next to you where your charger is. These are all second, third order effects that would not happen if you didn't make the change. And because you made the change, there's these new set of problems that you weren't aware of that you're going to encounter. And this is really true in almost everything you do in life, especially when you are at a big company and trying to change processes and workflows, because there's certain reasons, certain things have been done a certain way. And even if it outweighs the negatives, changing things are going to still bring along negatives. I mean, even if the positives of changing outweigh the negatives, it's still going to bring along changes, especially when you build processes on top of processes and you don't remember them or they weren't documented correctly. You can get in a lot of trouble and it can get in a mess in a hurry. So going into a project, going into a process to improve it, just understanding that there are going to be things that you're not going to think of, second, third order effects that are going to happen that you're going to have to account for with time, with money, and with frustration and patience that you might not have expected. And if you can just do that going into it and have, especially if you're leading a team, and have them prepared for it and not get frustrated by it, that is going to serve you well. You're going to be more successful and you're not going to feel like a failure, because that could be like hitting you like a ton of bricks. Like, oh my gosh, this is so much more difficult than I thought. This is going to take longer than I planned. This is going to cost more than I thought. But if you account for those things and you can just realize, yeah, this is just part of life, this is what happens, you're going to be in a better spot. The second morning hack is immediately drink 2 glasses of water. Now, this is great on a number of levels. One, it helps you wake up. 2, it gets you hydrated. And it goes into talking about how sleeping without drinking any water for 8 hours really gets you exhausted, especially if you sleep with your mouth open like I do and have the fan going, because I sleep really hot and I have to have like the air conditioned, the vents, the fans all triangulated to create the perfect ice storm so that I don't get too hot at night. I get really dried out from that. And drinking water really helps get your just system going. And another thing it does is it helps with your digestive system. I do intermittent fasting, which means I start my clock where I only eat for 9 hours throughout the day. And whenever I start eating anything or drinking anything besides water, that's what starts the clock. And then I have 9 hours to eat. There's a whole bunch of science about how your body only creates the chemicals in your body for that amount of time. And then it starts storing things in inefficient ways, like in fat. You don't have as much energy, all that stuff. But anyways, water is a great resource. It's actually, you need it to live, turns out. But helping you wake up and starting your digestive system and just getting your body kickstart for the day is a really great thing to do. So just try it. And then the third is move your body. It says move with your body, but it's move your body. Get up, do something, do like 10 push-ups. Like, don't need to go like do a 10 or 1 hour workout where you're doing 10 sets of 10 push-ups, but maybe do some stretching, maybe do push-ups, maybe do some crunches, or maybe just walk downstairs and just get out of the room. And getting your blood flowing, getting yourself up out of bed is half the battle, pretty much, basically. If you're in bed still, you're gonna fall asleep. Have you ever tried like, okay, I'm gonna get up early and pray, and then you're like, I'm just gonna stay in bed and pray, and then you get, dear God, thank you, and you fall back asleep. Because you're in bed, your body's not flowing, you're not drinking your water, you're not getting up, your blood's not circulating, and it's just a recipe to fall back to sleep. Hopefully you have an alarm set to wake you back up, or you're gonna be late for work. I have done that before when I was much younger. Now I get up really early and I have no choice because my finances are on the line. I'm in Hawaii, so I have to get up super early for investing purposes. The next hack is do some deep inhales and slow exhales. Now, I modified this one a little bit because I wasn't really sure what they meant by it, but I'm thinking it has something to do with these along these lines. And I know that this really does work, is when you take big, deep breaths in and slowly let it out, you're letting oxygen go through your body. And it turns out oxygen is another one of those critical resources you need, just like water. And when your body gets that in the morning, your brain has oxygen, your muscles have oxygen, turns out you do better in life. I know, it's funny. It's a funny thing about how God made us, right? When we do better when we have the things we need to live. So try getting up out of bed, drinking some of that water, doing some stretches, doing some push-ups, breathing in, and you can start seeing doing all these things together is gonna get you up for the day. And again, it's not like this whole 30-minute, 40-minute procedure or process that you're gonna be doing every morning, but just getting up and doing those things, having your water ready for you when you get up from having it ready the night before, getting those stretches done, you can do it in a couple minutes. And just getting out of bed, getting in the rhythm to do those things is a great thing. And this is an interesting one. I have not been able to pull this one off. I look at my phone the moment I wake up. It's number 5, morning hack. Don't look at your smartphone for 20 minutes plus. Now, that sounds wonderful. That sounds almost idealistic and naive. I don't know about you, but that could be a great thing. Maybe you get an alarm clock that's not your cell phone. That could be also another really good one. Another one is to not be on your phone within an hour or so before you go to bed and not have TV and to leave your bedroom of not being a place for those technologies. Again, something I can't do. I'm not going to tell you to do it because I can't do it myself. I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it. Honestly, just being honest with you guys, I'm not going to be fake. I promise you that. I might say stupid things or do dumb things, but I'm not going to be fake about it. Promise. And then number 6. Oh, speaking of fake, not that I am fake, but did I talk about why I'm wearing this shirt again? Because David said I look like Rick Warren. And when someone says you look like Rick Warren, you just double down and you do it. So that's why I'm wearing this shirt again today. Wink, wink, David. There you go. Just for you. Number 6, do something you enjoy in the morning so that you have something to look forward to. Now, you think about the opposite, and this totally makes sense. When you were going into school back in the day and you had a test or you had a speech in front of the class and you hated talking in front of people. I love talking in front of people, so that wasn't a big deal for me. But you would just dread it, and you wanted to sleep in, and you just wanted to put it off as long as you could. Now imagine if you had something to look forward to in the morning, you would be jumping to get out of bed. I happen to have that with my quiet time, reading, praying, and my investments. I love those things in the morning, and I do that before I start the bulk of my day. And it's something I love doing. I get up. I don't have a problem getting up for things that I enjoy. So try to get into something that you really enjoy. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's doing something other than being on your phone in the first 20 minutes. I don't know what that would be. But just think through that and think of things you can look forward to in the morning. Now, the last one, so common sense, but it's so hard to do and requires an immense amount of discipline. It's get a good night's sleep. And this is so important and something that should be top of mind for us. I have never gone to bed early and regretted it when I woke up the next morning. If I had a good night's sleep, if I had a terrible night's sleep for whatever reason, then it didn't matter. But for the most part, I have never gone to sleep early and regretted it. Because I feel refreshed, I get more done, I feel more accomplished, I think clearer. I have just a better day ahead of me. But why is it so hard for us to get to bed early? We put it off, we're on our phones, we're reading the news, we're watching TV, we're watching one more show on Netflix, and we're just putting off the sleep. And again, it's one of those things where we regret it in the morning if we're just up too late, and I'm thankful that we do it when we get to bed early. So think about that. And just think about how great you feel when you start to go to bed early, when you get that opportunity, and when you start to think about like spending some time just before you go to bed to wind down, quote unquote, and not going to bed and not trying to get some sleep. Just think about how much better you're going to feel in the morning instead of delaying and putting that off. Now that you have the 7 morning hacks. In the article, it says 7 easy hacks. I don't think some of these are easy. I think some of them are really hard because for a lot of us, it's fighting against our being. We're fighting against our tendencies as a human, our identity, our just how we are built. And I just will say this. There is so many times in life that we are called to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and not do what our bodies are telling us to do. And most of the time, we're better off for it. If that's exercise, if that's sleeping, if that's denying ourselves and our sinful nature, whatever it is, I have very rarely denied myself and regretted it. And I would just encourage you to do the same. If there is a tendency, a behavior, an action, a thought that you are doing in your life that needs to change, and you're just thinking, it's just the way I am, it's too hard to change, I've tried and I've failed before, take some time, pray about it, and make the moves you need to be successful. Deny yourself, discipline yourself, push ahead, be different than all the other people in this world who are going to be mediocre, and you will rise above to achieve things that those other people couldn't. Being successful is not easy. Being successful takes time, it takes work, and to think that it doesn't is deceiving yourself. The only way that you are going to be more successful than other people, not that that should be our goal, but to be more successful than other people, you're going to have to do things other people are not going to do. And one of those things is to deny yourself, to delay those instant gratification moments to get a better benefit in the future. It's not natural, it's difficult to do, but you will be more successful for it. Now take these steps, go out and be successful, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.